Let all, not some things, let all that you do, everything you do in your life, in your college, in your school, whatever you do, everything that you do, all that you do be done with what? Love. Agape. That's God's love.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome, everyone. Today, Pastor Bill completes his series, A Divided Church, from the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians, with the conclusion to Imperatives for the New Year. Now, Pastor Bill.
To be a Christian for 5 years and still be on the bottle, would you say that's a problem? That's exactly what was happening here. They're on a milk-only diet, which means that they weren't feeding themselves. They had to be fed. They were little babies. Paul called them, he said, you're babes in Christ. And you know what little babies in Christ, and this is no offense, man, it's just a true word. I was a babe in Christ at one time. Listen, they love baby sermons. No, in other words, baby sermons are like, you're going to be okay. They get offended if you say, you have to pick up your cross. You have to deny yourself. You have to follow Christ. Well, wait, that's too much, Bill. Just let me sit in my chair. Don't talk about tithing. Don't talk about sin. Just comfort me. I need a baby sermon because I'm a carnal Christian. In other words, you know, that's what I want. I want those, you know, those baby blanket sermons. Wrap me up, make me feel warm and secure. Hold me, rock me, love me, kiss me, change me. Just do everything for me. They like that. Like I always teach, they don't like in-depth teaching. That's too much for them. Why? Well, you know what I always say about that. You know, they don't like in-depth. The baby Christians like what we call here longhorn sermons. It's Texas, you know. You know, 2 points and a lot of bull in the middle, you know. Yeah, no, listen, we don't do that here, amen? No, you're not going to get that. You told me to use that joke, Jesse. Now I'm going to get all these emails and stuff. Your fault, No, it says, what did Peter tell us in 1 Peter 2? He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere, the pure, not the watered down, the pure milk of the word. And why? That you may grow thereby. You can't grow without God's word. You need to get it into your heart. And so Paul is saying to this church, quit acting like a little baby. Quit being a carnal Christian. Be brave. Grow up. Women grow up. Men grow up. Act like a Christian. You remember when King David, the greatest king in the Old Testament, also the greatest military leader, you remember when he was dying and Solomon was on the throne? And he went to Solomon in 1 Kings 2:1 and he said, oh, the days of David drew near that he should die. And he commanded or he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Now listen to what he said to his son. He says, be strong. Solomon, be strong. Prove yourself a man, he says. Prove yourself a man. Now listen, man, can you imagine Solomon? I mean, his dad is right there looking at him. Do you know what a rugged warrior David was? I mean, as a teenager, he was fearless. He cut off the head of Goliath, the giant. Amen? He was fearless. He wasn't afraid of anything. When he was out a shepherd in the field as a little boy, what did he do? Well, I killed a bear, killed a lion. They were trying to take the sheep. No fear. Listen, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. He's looking into the eyes of the king of Israel now. And he says, son, listen, you've got to prove yourself a man. Solomon was a little sissy. He was. It's okay. He grew up in the palace. He had never been in battle. He had never been in war. You know what I mean? And not only that, he was a young fellow. Some of the, you know, the early Christian fathers, Eusebius said he was probably 12. Josephus, who was the Jewish historian of antiquity, he said this. He said he's probably 15, maybe 16. He was a kid. And so yet, what happens? He says, listen, you better prove yourself a man. That's what you have to do. It's one thing to say that. It's another for a father to tell the son how. Amen? So he does. Listen to what he says. He says, you keep the charge of the Lord your God. You walk in his ways. You keep his statutes. You keep his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Oh, Solomon, if you do that, you will prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. That is great counsel. Fathers, moms, what kind of counsel are you giving your children? Because they're going to be facing life just like you are. And they need to have a strong biblical worldview. Amen? They need to know that the world is a wicked place. There's evil out there, and they need to know how to stand up against it. That's great counsel. David tells his son, there's only one way, man, you can make it, and that's the Word of God. Jesus said the same thing. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He says, man, watch. Imperative as a command. Watch. Stand firm or fast in the faith. Another command. Be brave. And then this last one. Be strong. That means they weren't strong. The church at Corinth. You see, the word be strong there, it's easy to read that translation and not get the gist of what it means because we don't have, the original language is not right there in front of us. But it doesn't mean be strong like let's go down to Planet X? Planet Fitness. You know what I mean? You can tell that's where I work out, right? Man, Merry Christmas, you know? No, listen. It literally means be strengthened, yes, but it means this, be strengthened. In other words, you cannot be strengthened in your own strength. So it's telling you that you must be strengthened. Not physical strength, but supernatural strength. Why do you think that Jesus said, listen, you go to the disciples, and he said, you go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power upon high. And what, the 120, you know, Acts chapter 2, there they are, they're up in the upper room, they're praying, they're waiting on the promise of the Father, which would be the Holy Spirit, the endowment of power. And then it came upon them. Why? They needed power. They needed to be strengthened so they could be witnesses to all mankind. Amen? So do you. See, you know, you're endued with power from upon high. Strengthened, if you will, not because you're worthy, not because, you know, God is honoring you. No, because you're powerless to live this life. You can't live the life in the flesh. You have to live it through Christ Jesus. Amen? You have to be strengthened through the power of another, which is the Holy Spirit of God, the divine helper, if you will, of the church. No, listen, we need to be strengthened all the time. One of the greatest prayers ever prayed came from a prison cell. In Paul the Apostle there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and following, he's praying and he says, oh Lord, he says that we may be strengthened with all power and might. And he says, in the inner man, not the outer person, in the inner man. Remember when we get into 2 Corinthians, Paul's going to write to us and he's going to say, listen, my outer man, you know, is perishing. If you don't believe me, look in the mirror, okay? Come on. Yes. He says, but my inner man is being renewed day by day. It's our inner man that needs to be fed and worked out. And so we're not our outer person. Listen, we need that strength to live the Christian life, and it's available for us. That's why Paul says that. You know, he says in Philippians 4:13, Paul writes, I can do not some things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the emphasis is not on I can, but Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? The Bible, he writes later to the church at Ephesus, he says in Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, brethren, be strong in your knowledge. No. Be strong in your own might. No. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Whenever Paul was talking to Timothy, his beloved son, he wrote to him and said, oh, Timothy, he said, listen, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power. There it is. And a sound mind. That's what God's given you
loved one as well. He told Timothy, he said, Timothy, oh, listen, you be strong in the grace. The grace, the unmerited, unearned, undeserved, divine favor of Almighty God to you. Be strong in what saved you. Be strong in what cleansed you. Be strong in what's going to keep you. Live in the grace of God. Live in the grace that Christ has given us. Amen? That's how we really are strong. And then look at this last one he writes. I love this one. He says in verse 14, and I'm right on time. I know some of you are worried about the Cowboys. They start at noon, and I was going to wear my Colt thing, but go Dak. Yes, yeah. Well, whatever. Verse 14, look at this now. Put this one in your heart. If you didn't get any of them, get this into your heart. Let all, not some things, let all that you do, everything you do in your life, in your workplace, in your college, in your school, whatever you do, everything that you do, all that you do be done with what? Love, agape. That's God's love. Now listen, they were not doing that. They were suing one another. They were divided from one another, this church. Even though the love of God, Romans 5:5, the love of God had been shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit that had been given unto them. Even though it says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. They had it all, but they weren't walking in it. Now listen to me. Love right now and throughout the rest of the Christian life is the greatest thing you can ever do. There's nothing greater than love. Paul devoted an entire chapter, chapter 13, to the agape of God. Listen, there's nothing greater than love. Then in Corinth, or even today. Listen, Paul says, whatever you're watch for, whatever you're standing in the faith for, whatever you're being brave and being strong for, he said, listen, let it be balanced out. You have to be balanced. Let everything you do be done in the agape of God. You know what the agape of God is? That is God's love. God is love. Amen? It's a supernatural love of God. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't learn it. It comes down from the Father into the heart of a person when he comes to Christ Jesus. Amen? You have to let it out. That's what Paul is saying. It's that uncaused. You love. It's a deliberate love. You choose to love. Why? Because you obey it. That's the foundational scripture of this church. Love never what? Fails ever. John 13, 34, 35, Jesus in the upper room. That's one of our vision statements for this church. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, hours before his death, a new commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And he said, by this, by your loving one another that same way, to the same degree that I love you, the whole world, all will know that you are my disciples, that you belong to me. Love is the earmark, the highest pinnacle of a believer. Do you hear me? Boy, without love, listen, what did Paul write in chapter 13? You can give your body to be burned. You can give all your money to the poor. You can know all mysteries. You can have all knowledge. He said, but if you don't have agape, if you don't have love, the love of God in you, you are nothing. Nothing. Think about that. He says, no, you're not anything at all. We need to be rooted and grounded in love. His love, God's love. You know, when we finish chapter 13, remember the first verse in chapter 14? That command, it's a command. He says, pursue love, agape. The word pursue in the Greek, that command, the imperative, it means this. It's a picture of a wild animal seeing its prey and going after it with full intensity. That's the way we are to pursue love, with full intensity. We're to have fervent love one for another. Quickly now, look at verse 15. I'm wrapping this up very quickly, about 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, and that was one of the few people Paul baptized, that he was the first fruits, or he was the first convert, the first believer in Arcasia. And watch this, and that they, everyone say they. Look what they did. They have devoted themselves to what? the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and everyone who works and labors with us. Now listen, this is incredible. That word devoted, do you know what it means? It means addicted. If you want to know, study out addictions in the Bible, that's the only place you can get it, right there. Okay, it means that the entire family, the whole entire household, these believers, they were addicted to love. No, a loving one another, loving the saints of God. They were all of them. They got high. How do you get high? Man, I go to church and love people. Now, I know, visitors, listen, have mercy on me. I know you're probably, this guy is nuts. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. It's okay. They know it. They're still here. Can you imagine just being high on love? Oh, I just love you. You could even do it with an Elvis voice. Thank you. Thank you. For, you know, I mean, loving people, man. No, listen, that's what it's all about. See, they were addicted. That means they were unable to function unless they were ministering to others in love. You see, they couldn't get enough of church. That was their fix. The 21st century church in America, somebody has put them in, you know, they're no longer addicted to love. They say, oh man, you got a problem. They put you guys, not you. They put them in rehab. Yeah, you need to get straightened out. I don't know about this lovey-dovey stuff. You love people, that's crazy. No, that's the highest thing in the Bible, is to love one another. The church has been tamed. You know what I mean? We need to wake up. We need to get excited and love one another. Even that means to love the unlovely. It doesn't mean to just love the people. Well, I like that person, but I don't like you at all. It's not even noon. Hold on. I only have 3 minutes. Just bear with me. I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, Archaeus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied, and they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. In other words, recognize such men. They refresh me, Paul says. They were a breath of fresh air in my life. I can't thank many people here, so many. May I say that you are a breath of fresh air to me at times, and how thankful I am for you. You see, every Christian, we all need a spiritual boost, amen? You know, and we all need to be delivered from allergies. I never had allergies till I turned 30, and now it's been 30. I'm 35, so I'm working my way through it. Paul said, man, you gave me a spiritual boost. I pray that you do that one to another, because Christians need to be boosted, amen? They need to be refreshed. He says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila, Priscilla, of course, those are the fellow tent makers with Paul. They greet you. They have a church there in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet each one another. The holy kiss. And then Paul says the salutation. Now watch this. My own hand, Paul's. See, there was a scribe he was quoting all this to, and he was taking it down. Now Paul says, give me the pen. I'm going to finish this out. And look how he does it. If anyone does not what? The Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. Do you end your letters like that to your people? I mean, how would you like to? Here's my Christmas card. You know, hey, Jesus is the reason for the season. Turn or burn. You know what I mean? No, he was saying, listen, if you don't love Jesus, we don't sign our Christmas cards like that. If you look in your Bible there, you probably have a little one and a two over certain words. And then in the center column reference, it'll tell you what those words mean. There's a Greek word there and a word in Aramaic. And the one of the words there where it says accursed, that means anathema. In other words, anathema means devoted to judgment, devoted to destruction. Man, set them aside for judgment. We could read it like this. If anyone doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be devoted to judgment at the coming of the Lord. And you say, Bill, who is he talking to? Look what it says. It says anyone. Anyone that doesn't want the Lord, that doesn't love the Lord, the one who came and was born in a manger, clothed and wrapped in those swaddling cloths. You know what a manger is? A manger is a feed trough. He was laid in a feed trough, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wasn't born to live. He was born to die for our sins and our guilt and our wicked ways, and to give us a new life, a new life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so when we die, we go home and we are with the Lord. You see, he said, if you don't love the Lord, anathema. What a word. You're doomed. You're doomed to destruction. See, Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man can go to the Father except by me. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, it said, there's no other name given among men under heaven by which they must be saved except the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad we know the truth, that we're saved? And look what Paul says. He says, oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let me ask you a question. If you don't know the Lord this morning, you that are listening live, you could be anywhere in the world. Those who are in the overflow, listen to me now. Grace or anathema? There's a choice. God gives every person a choice. He says, I want you to come to me. I don't care what you've done. Just come to me and I'll change you. I'll forgive you. I'll wash away every sin, every secret sin, every presumptuous sin, everything. You have a clean slate. You can have a brand new beginning. Do you want anathema or grace? You see, because the word Maranatha, or where it says, oh, come, Lord, that's Maranatha. That means Jesus is coming. You see, Christ has already come. Christ will come. And when he comes, those who don't want him and don't want anything to do with him, who use his name as a cuss word, when Jesus said, I love you, I want you, he said, it's going to be anathema. It's going to be worse than death. And God says, I don't want that for you. I want Jesus Christ to come. He saved you. And Paul says, look at this verse now. This is incredible, verse 24. Look how he closes. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is one of the most unbelievable scriptures in the Bible. Paul says, my love, I want you to share my love with everybody in the church at Corinth. Yes, those that married that incestuous relationship, tell them I love them. Tell them that God will forgive them. Those who are dividing the church, getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, those who are marrying divorces repeatedly, those who are causing all the divisions, abusing the gifts, those who deny the resurrection, you tell them, I love them. I'm rebuking you, yes, but you tell them I love them. Because when a person is rebuked, it's a sign that that person loves that person. Amen? Listen, Jesus is alive. He's left the manger. He's left the cross. He's seated at the right hand of God. And one day he's coming. I love everybody. Jesus loves you. If you don't know Christ Jesus, listen. It's not about joining this church or joining the church, because you can't join the church. You have to be born again. What a great time to give your heart to Christ. Let him save you. Why don't you come to him if you don't know him? Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name now. Lord, I thank you for every person here, every person that's listening live. If you don't know Christ as your Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to come and just live in your heart, I'm not talking about becoming a Baptist or a Calvary Chapelite. I'm saying a living relationship. Do you know the Lord? He loves you and he wants you. You say, Bill, how do I do that? I'd like Jesus to be my Lord. Well, the Bible's very clear. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the promise is this. God says, I'll save you. I'll save you right now if you will believe that. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that are present. I thank you for those who just asked Christ Jesus to be the Lord of their life. Lord, there's no one like you. We love you and we give you praise now in Jesus' name.
Well, we hope you've grown in your understanding of God's Word from Pastor's teaching in 1 Corinthians. The Word of God is so good, amen? Pastor Bill will be back on Monday with more teaching from God's Word, and we do hope to see you again. Thank you for listening today, and have a safe and restful weekend. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.